This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. It's Saturday. I'm Jodie, and I'm joined later on in the program by Tim Lennox talking about his cruise experiences. And when I say cruise, I mean on ships. We are joined by Greg, who's coming on the phone very shortly, all the way from Sydney. How are you, Greg?
Oh, good day, Jodie. How are you? And hello, everyone, for Detours. I'm sorry you're by yourself today, Jodie.
Oh, that's okay.
Up here at the Health Indifference Conference in Sydney, and it's been quite an extraordinary conference with people from right around the nation, different cultures, different parts of the country, and for some people, Jodes, it's actually their first time not only out of their states or their regions or their islands, you know, in the Tiwi Islands, it's the first time to come to a major city like Sydney and talk about gay and lesbian health.
Wow, that must be amazing. And so for some people, they've got, you know, the added, I guess, excitement and nervousness about being gay and also being with lots of other gay and lesbians as well.
It's not just the excitement, I think that's there, but it's also where, for the first time in any health conference I've been in the GLBT community, transgender issues and Indigenous and Tiwi Island issues are mainstream right across the program. So we actually have like a cultural inclusion in Australia that really is diverse for the first time, I think, in gay health conferences. It's fabulous.
That's great to hear. So what are your plans after the conferences, Greg, whilst you're in Sydney?
Look, whenever you come to Sydney, you do what you do in Sydney. You go and you check out the sites. There's so much to see for people travelling around this nation, and it's just fun watching people experiencing Sydney for the first time. But there's also a bit of a vibe with people talking about going to Melbourne and exploring Victoria, because I know people like the Country AIDS Awareness Network and Way Out Youth Diversity Program have been, they're actually speaking right now, and there's so many people that are going to be coming to visit Way Out in the country areas of Victoria just to explore not just the gay life there, but some of the sights and sounds of rural Victoria as tourists.
Sounds fantastic. Well, we hope you have a great time in sunny Sydney, and we'll look forward to you coming back on the Detour Show next Saturday.
And we're going to pipe Detours into the conference here just to listen to Tim Lennox and his journeys on a boat.
Fantastic. And, of course, our listeners can also tune in online. If you've got friends and family overseas and you want to give them a bit of joy, tell them to tune in online at www.joy.org.au. Now, very shortly, I'm going to be joined by Tim Lennox, who is our news desk extraordinaire, who's been dedicated and provided a lot of support to Joy with over many, many years. And we'll be hearing about his experiences of going on a gay cruise very shortly here on the Detours Travel Show on Joy.
It's more than you. It is more than me. We are a family.
What an amazing voice. This is the Detours Travel Show here on Joy, and the amazing voice I'm referring to is actually Wayne Moore, who is a piano bar singer on the Atlantis. Tim Lennox, welcome to the program here on the Detours Travel Show.
Thank you very much. Now, well, yes, Wayne Moore is quite very popular, and he goes on many of the Atlantis cruises and various ships, and he's sort of the resident piano bar man, but he's very, very good. And that is from a CD available from the ship, and he's always have a group around him and so on when he's singing.
I can imagine, and that track was called Family.
Now, very appropriate for a gay and a gay ship.
Absolutely, and a gay radio station yeah. too. So, Tim, you've been on a number of cruise holidays, one or two?
No, I went on a brief one, which was not a gay one, up the Malacca Straits a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, but this was the first all-gay cruise, and I had some reservations, wondering what that would be like. I mean, people have, when you say all-gay cruise, it conjures up all sorts of images of what that might be like.
Well, like that people don't have enough room for this sort of their luggage because they've got lots of glitter and, you know, outfits for every occasion.
Yes, and I was thinking more of what people imagine might go on board.
So what made you decide to go on an all-gay cruise?
Well, it was something new, and I did have some reservations about it, but I asked a couple of friends here in Melbourne who had been on them, and they said, look, don't worry about it. It's not one big orgiastic sort of occasion. It's very friendly, and it's very relaxed, and very... one thing that makes it different is that you don't have to watch your language and what you say, you know, in your conversations and so on. All the people there are all in the same boat, so to speak.
Literally, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
And so that must give people either travelling on their own or with friends, or just anyone, in regardless of their sort of situation, a level of comfort, would you say?
It does, it does. And now, on this particular ship, it wasn't... The cruise we went on, by the way, was a 10-day cruise, and it went from started off in Shanghai, and went to, and was at sea, and then it went to Busan in South Korea, and then called it Hiroshima in Japan, Kyoto, Osaka in Japan, and Kagoshima, and then we're at sea, and then we went on to Taipei in Taiwan, and finished up in Hong Kong. So it's a very varied. And quite a few. There's only a couple of full days at sea. We were stopping at ports and going on excursions, and or excursions were available for you if you wanted to go on them, or you could just get off the ship and have a wander around.
You know, I'm really fascinated by cruise ships, and I've never been on one for an extended period. But I have been watching a program called Cruise Ships, or one of those reality shows. Just one set from Italy. Just the scale of size of the function rooms and the food and the amount of people and luggage. I mean, when you arrived or embarked, and it was in Shanghai, was that correct?
Yes, we started the cruise in Shanghai,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so what were some of your impressions when you're standing there on the dock?
Well, it was pretty amazing, although this wasn't one of the biggest ships. This was more of regarded it as a five-star luxury cruiser, but not as big as some of the ones that are on the seas now, because some of the ports there, bigger ships could not have got in there. So this was one of their first. Atlantis Cruises is a company which hires various ships and so on for these, and organises the cruises. They have their own people on board, but it is a very, very well-organised situation. So this was said to be a five-star. We didn't have, in our cabins, we didn't have cabin stewards. No. We had butler. And the butler, even at 9 o'clock in the morning, was dressed in dinner suit, black tie and the whole works. And he was available to bring you a meal in your cabin if you wished, or whatever. The actual appointments were particularly good. As is traditional on cruise ships, the food was in huge amounts and available, you know, I forget how many restaurants we had on board, but quite a few, including the prestige a la carte restaurants through to buffet-type eateries, we say, and, you know, pool bars and all that sort of thing.
That sounds amazing. We'll continue on in a few moments hearing about your experience, Tim, on one of the Atlantis cruises travelling through Asia in a few moments here on the Detours Travel Show. We're with you right up until 1 o'clock here on Joy 94.9.
Nobody does it like me.
Fabulous song for a Saturday morning here on Joy. This is the Detours Travel Show. I'm Jody, and I'm joined by Tim Lennox. And that song there was by one of the performers on the Atlantis cruise ship that Tim went on. He's from the Piano Bar. His name is Wayne Moore, and that was Nobody Does It Like Me.
Yes, full of double entendre, that one.
Got to get up pretty early in the morning to listen to it very carefully. So, Tim, you recently went on a cruise, a 10-day cruise, starting from Shanghai. What were some of the people on board the ship like?
Well, it was quite a big mixture, actually, and I wasn't towards the end of the cruise that I found out there were about 16 Australians on board. You'd meet people during the course of the cruise, and but it was very interesting, because one would think that you know, only people that could afford it and so on, and there would have been perhaps the middle-aged and up group of people, but it was really quite a big mixture of people on board, and most of them, however, would be in couples and partners. They also had quite a number of singles, not as many singles as there were couples, I believe. There were about on this ship, which could take about 600 people. Which is a relatively smaller ship than usual, and we were about two-thirds full for this particular cruise. The next cruise, it was back-to-back with another one, and finished at Hong Kong that same day. They headed off on a second cruise, and some people stayed for it, another 10-day cruise, which went from Hong Kong through into Vietnam and Bangkok and in Thailand and so on, finishing up in Singapore. And but the actual demographics, if you like, of the people, it was quite a mixture. They do have a facility which not many cruise ships do have, and that is, if you go as a single, normally that would cost you double the amount just to have a cabin in a cabin on your own. Whereas Atlantis has a scheme whereby it doesn't cost you more, you just pay the single rate if you are prepared to share.
So they then would match you with someone, you know, who you don't know, but then obviously you have the savings and you could get to know someone have new friendships or whatever.
That's right. And the basis for how to pick, it's not on ages or anything like that. The basis on it, you're either a smoker or a non-smoker.
Okay. I like that idea, because I wouldn't want to be with a smoker.
No, and that's been very important, and so they do that. And so I went as a single, and I was matched. I found myself sharing the cabin in a very pleasant way, a platonic pleasant way.
Nice.
With a man of, 37, I think he was. And
so
he
only
was
a couple of years younger than you.
Oh, well, we won't go into that. But and he was from Mexico, and he was actually a marketing and sales manager for a brewery in Mexico, and he was staying on for the second cruise as well, and he was also a gym junkie, so he was very pleasant on the eye. But the thing about it is that everybody did, and they used to have singles nights, or every night was, they had a particular part where the singles would all gather for drinks before dinner, and we would go and share tables quite often, and different groupings at every time. So it was all designed to make you feel comfortable.
Lovely.
And the weather was pretty good. Not so much in the early part of the thing. It was too cold and it was raining a lot. So there weren't as many. But on this particular cruise, the Shanghai one leg, only because I think it was one of their first ever from that part of the world. And also, it was much warmer later for the second cruise. So it was booked out.
Okay. So when you began on this cruise, knowing that it's a gay cruise, were there any lesbians on there?
I think there was. We worked out to about 10 or 12.
Oh, okay.
And they were always brought up in the shows and so on, in the shows, and mentioned and so on, and given rounds of applause if a lesbian wins a competition or something. It was all in good natured, and people did get on very well together. And you see, the lesbians concerned would know that would be the situation, and they're perfectly happy about that.
For sure, for sure. And I think, obviously, there's different types of cruise ships for different sort of markets, but I think, were there any of the gays and lesbians who had their family, as in children?
No.
No. So it was strictly adults and
there were no children on board. Mm, yep. Although the captain of the ship, when they reached Hong Kong, he was going to be joined by his wife and child.
Lovely, yep.
So, but he told everyone all about that, and that'll all be spoilt rotten, I imagine.
So if you've just joined the program, this is the Detours Travel Show here on Joy, and I'm Jody, joined by Tim. And Tim is talking about his cruise ship experience in Asia. Now, Tim, what did a typical day look like for you?
Well, that's a bit difficult, because every day was different to some extent. There was always, and most days there was we were docking, we were at a particular port, and there would be excursions available to go on there, which you paid for if you wished to go on. So that was extra to the fare, so to speak. But the interesting, as I think they do in most cruise ships now, there is a situation where you don't use cash. what happens is that you everybody is given a electronic card which opens the door of your cabin, but at the same time is also used to quote for all charges. Anything you if you bought drinks or you even your laundry to be done or anything you like, and the excursions, and that all go. And at the end of the trip, you've got a bill for the lot, and it was automatically put on your credit card.
So did that make you sort of think twice about what it is you wanted to purchase because, you know, you thought you might be up for a big bill? Or did
At first, but then you relaxed about it after a day or so. The drinks, for instance, were, and it was all in US currency, and the drinks, and they built into everything the gratuities, the tips, so that you might be paying $7 or something for a drink, and the gratuity might be $1.05 or something like that. But that's all built into the price that you were charged. The same applies to port charges and general gratuities. There's an amount allocated for that, and so you don't have to worry about should I tip him, tip this or tip that or whatever. So it makes it all very easy, and it is very, very popular.
And what were some of the shore excursions or trips that you did, either independently or with the groups?
No, basically the only one excursions I went on were with the groups. A couple of times there was a friend I met on board, and we got and he was particularly good. He was a Vietnamese guy, and he was particularly good at finding his way around places. And so we went around town one city just without taking the excursion. And there was one city whereby the it's Kagoshima, I think it was, in Japan, where the volcano just nearby goes off about five or six times a day. So, you know, we were there and we saw this volcano erupt, which was quite interesting. But Japan and all of the other cities, they were so varied. Pusan in South Korea, they had different characteristics. But and there was a huge contrast before we got on, for instance, in Shanghai, which is just a cacophony of sound. We're, you know, all the time, and just such a, I mean, when you imagine a city, just one city with a population as big as, if not bigger than the whole of Australia.
I can't imagine. It would be so fascinating. And did you feel at any stage you didn't really want to go on shore and you just wanted to hang out on the ship?
Yes, well, there was one time when it was cold and raining and whatnot. I felt that, but that was in Hiroshima, and I really did want to go and go ashore, so it was raining all the time, but we all had umbrellas and we bussed out to the places and so on, so it was okay. Azamara Cruises is the run the ship in this case, which Atlanta sort of chartered for the occasion, and Atlanta has got some amazing stuff coming up, which I'll talk about shortly.
I look forward to hearing about that. And we'll come back in just a few moments to hear more about Tim's cruising experiences and then some future plans that he may or may not have. But I'm no doubt he's always perusing, planning his next trip. I'm with you till 1 o'clock. I'm Jody here on the Detours Travel Show here on Joy 94.9. This is the Detours Travel Show. I'm Jody, joined by Tim Lennox here on Joy. I'm with you right up until 1 o'clock. And we've been talking cruising, but before we go straight into that, that track was Future Lovers by Madonna. So, Tim, the cruise that you went on was in Asia, starting at Shanghai. And what were some of the highlights of the entertainment and food on board? Because, of course, I always love the food aspect of any holiday.
Well, the food, of course, as in pretty well every cruise ship these days, was absolutely fantastic. The choices were always there. I mean, and the choices of type of restaurants on board. For instance, we had the Windows Cafe up on Deck 9, and that was used by most people for breakfast or brunches and so on. I mean, they had 24 hours coffee, tea and juices, but they also had this from 6 till 7:30, the continental breakfast, then a full breakfast from 7:30 a.m. to 11 a.m, which is very civilised sort of hours, 7:30 to 11, the selection of freshly made smoothies and health nut bar. and then lunch from 12 till 2.30 and afternoon delights from 3.30 to 4.30. So, I mean, it's that particular one place. And you could go along there if you didn't like the smorgasbord type stuff, where it had everything you could possibly think of, including, say, about 10 types of ice cream. And they had a couple of chefs behind the bar, and they would make you, while you wait, make you waffles or pancakes for breakfast.
What, did they have one of those chocolate fountains?
No, they didn't have a chocolate fountain. Oh,
maybe with the ship and the movement. How did you feel? Did you actually experience any seasickness on the gym?
No, I didn't at all. But yeah. I mean, a couple of people that I met, some of the people I met were pretty weak on it. I've thought there was a little bit of movement one day, and there's hardly, you know, they had the stabilisers out, and it's not too much at all and whatnot. But you know,
so they're making a lot of fuss with
it. Affected a few of the people I met, and there was a you know, the stir fry and pasta at the windows. The Breezer Cafe there on deck 9, you know, plus sushi and antipasta and entrees and desserts. And, you know, from midnight to 3 a.m. late night, if you feel a bit peckish. Excuse me.
That's okay.
And the Mosaic Cafe and another one, and then Discovery's Dining Room, which was, they would take you and seat you, you know, they'd be met by the maitre d' and taken in to sit down and looked after by waiters and all that. And it was all inclusive, except you did pay for your drinks. But anyway, there were others as well. I mean, by the pool you could get hamburgers and grill, and there's a grill all there, and people there waiting just to make a grill. And the Americans, of course, a lot of Americans on board, and they've already begun cocktails. So, the daiquiris and margaritas and martinis and things were, you know, pretty popular. So they'd have particular tastings at different nights. We'll have a martini tasting night or a margarita tasting night for those that wanted to do it, you know. But everything, you know, as far as the eating and someone is concerned, and everything you could imagine, you know, and even the sort of odd things you might like, they'll make things for you. So very good. And as for the showbiz you asked about,
The entertainment.
Entertainment. Well, there was a cabaret room, of course. And they would have, we had specific for the gay community, we had tea dances, and they had another night whereby a party night whereby you could only, not to pack anything, you could only wear, as decoration, stuff you did bought for a dollar or two in the main street, in the shop, in Market Street in Shanghai. You know, the rubbish stuff, you know, you could buy it cheaply.
They didn't tell you that before you went on land?
Yes, they did. Put that in advance, because before the ship left. So the idea was to go down, not Nathan Road, that's Hong Kong, the other main street, I've forgotten at the moment. And so the things like that, and they have a white party every cruise. They have a white party, and which are always, and the tea dances and so on. But in addition to that, they had the routine, you know, the comedians on the cabaret room, and they'd have the piano bar, as we've heard from, and and poolside, a lot of entertainment and competitions poolside when the weather permitted. So it's a great variety of stuff. Now, I've got to say this, that I can now boast truthfully that I have appeared in a Las Vegas show.
Fabulous.
Well, it wasn't in Las Vegas, but it was a Las Vegas show. What was happened was one of the ship entertainment provided, not the Atlantis, but the ship, they have their own entertainment people as well. And this was a 10 or 12 people, male and female people, did a wonderful, beautifully choreographed showbiz program. And partway towards the end of that, a young lady came and sat on my knee, and that was very nice. And then they went carried on with the show. Then she came down again towards the end of the show, and the big finale was coming up, and hauled me back up on stage, backed by a 12-piece band. No, 14-piece band, I think it was. And we went fully into it, and I got, you know, carried away through the high-stepping and the hip swivelling and the whole bit, you know. And all complete with a feather boa around my neck. So, and the interesting thing about it was, or one other interesting thing is that, you know, for days after, people say, you were the guy that was up on stage, weren't you?
Oh, that's gorgeous.
You know, oh, yes, you danced well or something like that. And I was called Big Daddy. And so I was speaking to them afterwards, and they said, do you always call a person Big Daddy that's in the routine? And I said, and they said, yes, we do. I said, well, actually, my nickname is really Daddy Cool.
Yeah, let's get that right.
Oh, but terrific. Anyway, I can now boast that. Unfortunately, it's not on video because for copyright reasons, they couldn't video it. So anyway, well, I have now boasted on air that I've been on a Las Vegas show.
Even if it wasn't in Las Vegas.
An ancient old man like me.
That sounds great. Actually, the last time I did sort of high kicks with for New York, I think I put something out in my back.
Oh.
So,
chiropractor or osteopath afterwards, yes.
Exactly. But we'll hear more about your cruise ship experience in Asia in a few moments. And just remember, if you're listening now, at 1 o'clock we have the news, and then afterwards we have Pete Dillon with Cravings. And no doubt there'll be yummy, gorgeous, nibbly things to talk about and hear about here on Joy.
Oh, yes.
94.9.
Bonsoir, bonsoir. Here we are at the pride of Saint-Tropez, the envy of the cabaret world, the jewel of the Riviera. Only champagne from now to the finale. Monsieur Dunn, I beg you, open your eyes. You have arrived at La Cage à Folle.
And this is the Detours Travel Show. I'm Jody, joined by Tim Lennox, and I'm with you right up until 1 o'clock here on Joy. Now, it is a gay and lesbian radio station, and that song was one of the most over-the-top camp ones I've heard
really
in a while.
Was.
So, La Cage à Folle, and that's the piano bar gentleman from Atlantis Cruise Ship, and Wayne Moore. He's got a fabulous voice, hasn't he?
He has got a great voice, and he's very easy to listen to.
Very good.
Particularly late at night.
I bet. Now, so the cruise ship lasted for 10 days and...
No, the ship is still going, actually.
Oh, sorry. The cruise that you were on was
yeah, that's
for 10
right,
days.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You had a nice eye candy Mexican young fellow sharing the room with you.
Yes.
As plutonic friends. Would you recommend this as an experience for people either travelling with a partner or on their own?
Oh, I would certainly do so. The thing about it is that, contrary to my earlier impressions, you know, about being a bit, you know, wondering about whether it's suitable or not, it was. It was just very relaxing, as my friends had told me, very friendly, and a variety of people you can meet. One sort of recommendation, I believe, and it really amazed me, when I found out that the number of people who were there had been on multiple cruises with the same firm, Atlantis. In fact, the record, I believe, was a couple who had been on about 40 of them, but they would have had to do a couple a year or more. But, you know, there were many, many people. They had a special night for all the alumni, as they call it, and the alumni from other cruises. And they had a special night for those who'd been on four or more cruises. Well, that was a huge number of people turned up.
It is interesting how sometimes people find a groove in their holiday experiences that is a level of comfort, a level of... And there's no sort of having to plan ahead that someone else does it for you, and that, you know, it's a reassuring that it's all taken care of. So whether that's a caravan holiday down at the same place every year or something like that, it's interesting.
Well, the beauty of this about is that you're travelling and you're seeing a lot of places, but you don't have to pack and unpack.
Oh, I like that idea. So did a lot of people have lots and lots of luggage?
The airlines are a bit tougher these days, so I don't know. I did see some huge huge sort of trolleys at one stage, but yes, there were quite a few that did, but they must have had to pay a lot more extra for their air trips to and from, because a lot of the cruises that you have to fly to the departure point, but they are incredibly popular now. I did actually meet briefly the founder, excuse me, founder and what do they call him, the president and founder and CEO of Atlantis Cruises, who they tell me is a real West Hollywood boy.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Campbell, and he was on the ship. And he's on most of these cruises because he's a very much hands-on person, seeing to the details, seeing to the nitty-gritty of things, making sure everything works. And they have a crew of people, a number of people, all very good-looking, handsome young men, mind you, who are on the staff of Atlantis Cruises, who make sure people are happy and looked after and all that sort of thing. And they have a cruise director, entertainment cruise director, and the ship also had a cruise director, so we had both cruise directors looking after us, and they were very, very it just made it all very easy. And there's always little one thing that was new, I should say, I remember now, which was new and they hadn't done before. At one stage from that sea, that they kept enough people there to steer the thing, but the rest of the entire crew, from the cabin people right through to engineering and everything else, and they all came up and paraded around the upper deck, around above the pool, and so, you know, as a sort of a greeting things. This was the crew that was looking after you. Now, of course, the crew are not gay. I mean, some would have been perhaps, but and they were very, very extremely friendly and very good. One thing you find on most cruises these days, wherever you meet anyone from the crew, whether it's a guy in overalls from the engine room to anybody, they always say hello and good morning, hello to you. And
I think that's the sort of level of hospitality that's expected internationally, particularly on cruising. And I'm sure that the sort of staff who would have the stamina and I guess the patience and personality to be away from family and friends and, you know, out floating out on the sea and those challenges of not being able to get away,
yes,
would have to be very, very unique individuals, I think.
Yes, they are, and very, very friendly and big smiles and so on. I remember I was talking to a young barman called Wayan and from Bali. And, of course, in Bali, as you probably know, or most people know, that it's traditional that the firstborn son is always called Wayan.
I didn't know that.
And I think, I forget that they have, and the third board son, I think, is Made. And they were all, that's why they have the same names. And I'm a firstborn son, and so I said to Wayan, oh, hello, I'm Wayan too, you know. He was very tickled about that.
That's
so
lovely.
He gave me a big wave every time he saw me. Oh, Wayan.
So do you have any other future plans for any travel,
well,
whether it be land, sea or air?
I would like to, but, I mean, one has to look at costs and so on these days.
Very
and
true.
Whether I can afford it and that sort of thing. But I don't close the door to the thoughts. Cruising can vary according to if it's a relatively short one, it can be quite reasonable, but you've still got to get there. But there are bargains to be had in air travel these days. And I received a thing from Atlantis, and they send you emails, and there you're a customer. They send you what's coming up and that sort of thing. And admittedly, the brochures and things and whatnot, they all have pictures of spunky young men and whatnot in them.
Well, you could be on those covers.
No, absolutely.
You've been on the cabaret on ship. And
yeah. But these are particularly good-looking young men and, you know, mid-20s to early 30s and so on. But in one of the brochures they said, now, we admit that we always have good-looking men in our brochures, but you can't blame us, can you?
Well, you know, it's all about marketing, isn't it?
Marketing, that's right. So they've got a whole lot coming up. For instance, this year there's an Amsterdam Pride cruise, which for the Holland-America line, the Eurodam, with a brand new twist that they're sailing to Amsterdam to stay overnight during the biggest gay pride celebration. So they and a Venice to Athens cruises and an Athens to Barcelona, all calling at different places. Then there's an LA to Mexico cruise, Southern Caribbean, they also have a couple of they hire out club meds sometimes for the, so you're not cruising, you're just sort of there, but
in a resort then,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So but all under the same thing. But what gets me, I think I might have mentioned earlier that they have chartered the biggest cruise liner ever made, which has just been launched. It's called Allure of the Seas. and I forget the number. I did have it. I think it's about 8,000 passengers.
That's just huge.
And that's in Atlantis, and it has been booked out. It's booked out well in advance. And so if you want to travel on that particular one, it will be you'll be on a wait list for cancellations. So that's pretty amazing, really.
It sure is. I think a number of our guests on the Detours Travel Show have talked about their cruise experiences on ships, and I think it's never been a trip that I've booked, but maybe it is something I'd need to experience. My concern would be that I would just get into those restaurants and just keep eating and then, you know, not be able to fit down the gangplank or something. But I guess you can swim and go to the gym.
Yes.
And, you know, walk around the decks.
They had an amazing gym on board, and with steam room and sauna and jacuzzi and all that sort of stuff, and as well as a casino, so you could lose your money if you wanted to. But all of those sorts of things are just taken for granted. Even an internet room, an internet cafe on board the ship, and you could be sailing in the China Sea, as I did, and send an email to my brother in South Gippsland, you know.
It's you know, amazing. I was just reflecting this morning, talking with a friend of mine who arrived in Australia as an international student over 20 years ago, and I was talking about my experiences of having been an exchange student going to Germany at a similar time. And we're saying that, you know, the way we would communicate with friends and family 20 years ago was with aerograms.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could buy them in bulk. They were very, very light. You could fold them up. You didn't need to put a stamp on them. And they were cheap. And you know that within 7 days, you know, pretty much anywhere around the world between, you know, Western countries, it would get delivered. Now, so many of my friends with their children who are travelling, they've got their mobile phone on roaming and they're updating their Facebook and, you know.
Sometimes they use Skype and things
like Skype
that.
And Skype and SMSing, you know, parents, more money, please, can you deposit in my account? So I think it's fascinating how people communicate now. I mean, and imagine even, you know, 50 years ago when it would have been steamships delivering things and, you know.
That's right. Yes, I mean, in my very first, I was very, very young, I must say, they used to have ships which would travel to transport you from one place to another, in other words, and I actually took a trip to America, but I went by ship on the Aronce, and I know we went up to Sydney and stayed there 3 or 4 days, and then across to, we called in at Auckland, and then Suva, and then Honolulu, and then Vancouver, and I got off the ship at San Francisco. So, I mean, you don't have those nowadays. You've got to hop an aeroplane, which I prefer the ship way, actually.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of romance and nostalgia about long journeys like that. And I'd love to hear from anyone who's listening who's been on an extended trip recently on ship, because there's sometimes you can go, not necessarily a commercial passenger-carrying ship. It could be a freight
ship.
Or a cargo, but you're actually paying as a passenger. And of course, you don't get the trimmings of Las Vegas cabarets and things, but it's a method of transport.
You also become very knowledgeable calling at these different places, because I met people on board, some Americans on board, who, for instance, who knew a great deal about Australia because they went on a cruise which went around, circumnavigated Australia.
Oh, wow.
You know, and some people who had been to, went from New Zealand to Mardi Gras in Sydney this year, and so they called in Melbourne here. They had a rough trip across to Melbourne, but because they were due to be on Joy from Atlantis, but they missed it was a rough trip and they were delayed, and so didn't make it on Joy.
Oh, never mind.
So I'm doing this instead.
Very good. Well, we'll make it another time. Tim, it's been delightful speaking with you today on the Detours Travel Show, and thank you for sharing your experiences of being on a cruise ship.
That was fun.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I just wanted to say on behalf of everyone at Joy, thank you for all the great work you do with Joy and the volunteering and the photography and your mentoring of people with the news desk. And I don't know whether we say it enough, but thank you.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, stay tuned up until 1 o'clock. Well, it's going to nearly be 1 o'clock in a few minutes. We'll have the news coming up very shortly with Anthony. And then we have Pete Dillon from Cravings, who'll be talking about all sorts of yummy foodie things. I'm Jody. I've been with you on the Detours Travel Show. I'll be back again next Saturday at 12 noon here on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.